Please pray with me. Living One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, in the sunlight of this day. Amen. Today we think about beginnings of creation itself, of faith, of change in our lives, whether welcome or not. Usually, when we use the word beginnings, we think we're using it in a positive way. It implies newness, insights, action, becoming. Beginnings implies previous endings, old ways of being and thinking and organizing. Beginnings have to do with history and family and life intentions, also with school and career, health, quality of life, and presidencies. Usually when we think of that word, we refer to what we are trying to accomplish or what God is doing in and through us. But not always. Both war and peace start somewhere, usually gradually over time. The same is true with hate and love, health and disease, conflict and cooperation, building schools and bombing cities. So as we are guided by our text into thinking about beginnings or new beginnings, think about where you came from, where this congregation came from. Think about the new beginnings you wish for and those you do not wish to see happen. In the beginning, we all came from somewhere. There was a pinprick of matter that exploded and expanded and continues to expand today. According to the Maasai of Kenya, humanity was fashioned by the creator deity from a single tree or log which split into three pieces. To the first father of the Maasai, he gave a stick. This one herded animals. To the first father of the Kikuyu, he gave a hoe. This one cultivated the ground. To the first father of the Kamba, he gave a bow and arrow. This one hunted. Kamui, the creator god of the Ainu of Hokkaido, made this world as a vast, round ocean resting on the backbone of an enormous trout. He sent a small bird with a long tail. It fluttered over the waters with its wings and trampled the sand with its feet and beat it with its tail, thus creating patches of dry land, islands. The ancient Finns believed that the world was formed from an egg that was broken. The upper part of the egg formed the sky, the yolk was the sun, the lower parts of the egg formed the Mother Earth. According to Jain beliefs, J-A-I-N, the universe was never created and it will never cease to exist. It is eternal but not unchangeable because it passes through an endless series of cycles. In the Babylonian creation story, the god Marduk defends the divine beings from an attack plotted by the ocean goddess Tiamat. Marduk challenges Tiamat to combat, destroys her, rips her corpse into two halves, which he then fashions into the earth and the skies. In the beginning, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And great crowds came from everywhere, the scripture says. They came to him to cleanse their lives and start afresh, new beginnings. They came for a better life. They came because apparently there was nowhere else they could find such an experience. Jesus also came as one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, and he saw the heavens torn apart and heard a voice that named him and set him on his path. A few people attached themselves to him, and these followers or students or disciples followed him here and there, learning to think differently than they used to think, and see farther than they used to see, and speak good news into a world lacking good news. In the beginning, Jewish Christians attended Jewish synagogues because they had no notion of starting a different religion. But as the years passed, the two could not live together in peace, and church and synagogue became separated, became strangers to one another. And eventually, the importance of their common origin was replaced by enmity and suspicion fueled by stereotypes and half-truths and misguided attempts by Christians to convert the others. These two children of Abraham no longer recognized one another as family. In the beginning, there was the Catholic Church. But then East and West divided for various reasons, and in 1054 they became Eastern and Western churches. And then in the 16th century, the West divided into Catholic and Protestant. And the Protestants kept subdividing, and we're still doing it. Today, if there are at least three Presbyterians in a meeting, there will be not less than three opinions and at least two potlucks, and I imagine Swedenborgians are the same. In the beginning, we all start somewhere. This congregation's beginnings are hidden in the complexities of history and personality that produced Emanuel Swedenborg, and the insights which came through his life experiences. And those were transmitted through his writings, which people took up, and a group of them started a church in his name in the 1790s in England. And that message went into the lives of those who came to this country, and they passed on the insights, beginning on the East Coast, Midwest, and finally on the Left Coast here in the 1850s. And then Joseph Worcester came and pastored this congregation, for 46 years. 13 years followed of uncertainty, disagreement. Reverend Tobish came for 41 years. Reverend Redkop, Reverend Capon, Reverends Jim and Rachel, and then Reverend Rachel. And now we are here. You are here. And we are taking a big breath to gather ourselves and think about who we are and where we've come from and where we want to be before you call the next theological descendant of Swedenborg to be your next pastor. This is an ad for next Sunday's meeting. Next Sunday we will gather together after... after church, be there. We'll eat lunch. Lunch will be provided if you sign up for it. It'll be there. We'll take another look at where we've come from and where we think we need to go. There have been a lot of suggestions brought forward out of the first two meetings in October and November. We'll look at those. We are creatures of our past, our family dynamics and patterns, but we are not necessarily totally limited by those. We can decide to go down to the river with the crowds and pray and get baptized into a new quality of life. The heavens can open, not as dramatically perhaps, but voices can be heard, new directions can be given, a sense of identity can be granted and owned. We can go places our parents could not go. In the beginning, women and children and criminals and racial ethnic people were not considered persons in the legal sense in this country. We've come a long way, and we have a long way to go. People all come from somewhere. Pakistanis and Indians, Palestinians and Israelis, North Americans and Cubans, Republicans and Democrats, Each of us has an antecedent history and set of traditions which tell us who we are and what to believe and what's important and who are our friends and our enemies. And obviously, each of the groups I just mentioned need a new beginning. We need a chance to take a deep breath and make peace rather than war. Another chance to find the common ground of our shared humanity. Each of us needs to come to the water to repent and be washed clean and look each other in the eye and embrace one another. Where do you come from? What were your beginnings? We may have been churched when we grew up or not. We may have been raised in a family that talked about spirituality or not. We may have become sensitive to questions about meaning and purpose or not. I've been doing weddings for a long time, and as I meet people here who come to this place to be married, I am again reminded about the incredible diversity of national and family background, experience, convictions, and beliefs that make up the human experience. I try to make time to talk about those things because only in talking about them can we raise them to consciousness and point out the strengths and weaknesses that we all bring to intimate relationships. And when we can name things, we can then do something about them. We have a sense of power. We're not helpless in the face of unnamed terrors. The Reverend Robert Toffel writes a weekly Sunday morning forum. He sends it online to those who request it, and to me, that sequence of writings every week is a godsend. And for today, he writes this. John the Baptist practiced a purification ritual calling for moral change. The external purification ritual, that is baptism, in the river, represented an internal commitment to change. Baptism, repentance, and regeneration are interrelated as a process of being saved from captivity to evil. In a Swedenborgian view, the water in baptism symbolizes repentance, the effort to learn and follow the Lord's way, which together correspond to being regenerated by the Lord. I'm a lifelong Presbyterian, and this strikes home. This strikes home. The external purification ritual represented an internal commitment to change. We say it a little differently, but we mean just about the same thing. This is Baptism of the Lord Sunday in the church liturgical calendar. It's about beginnings and new beginnings and repentance and baptism and a sense of being washed clean and a sense of starting over, a sense of being forgiven, going down to the river to pray. And so we can talk about ourselves as individuals, as families, as couples, as friends, as enemies, as a church that's involved in an interim situation, and we can all think of something that we need to repent of, to turn 180 degrees from and go a new way. Regeneration of a congregation, of an individual, of a couple, of a family, that's the way to new life. We all start somewhere. Here and now is a good place to start. Please pray with me. Lord, you know where we come from. You know where you want us to go. We open up now our individual hearts and the collective heart of this group to you, that you may come in and take up residence and clean us out, and to make space for your love and wisdom and truth inside of us. We want to go the way you are headed. Guide us in that direction. Make us new. Amen.